Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you, too. We are in the KUT studios kicking off the new school year.
Yes, and our new season.
And our new season.
I'm calling this season six. I don't care. I'm the mathematician in this family, so I'm going to officially say this is our sixth season.
I will follow your lead on that. We figured out we kind of started halfway through a season.
That's right.
So,
That's right.
But kind of like stuff on Netflix, you can binge Higher Ed because all of the episodes are available online.
No, that's great. So there are people out there binging on The Office, and then those same people are probably binging on Higher Ed. I love that.
I would like to think we have a crossover appeal with The Office. That would make me very happy. As I mentioned, it is, you know, the beginning of a new season. As you said, it's also the beginning of a new school year.
Yes.
And one thing I thought we could talk about the beginning of a new school year, you know, there's a particular group that this school year will be very different for them, and that is students who are heading off to college for their freshman year.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a big change.
Big transition.
You know, sometimes it's geographic. It's certainly academic. It can be a whole different lifestyle. So I wanted to kind of dig in and see if there is advice that you have for students sort of heading off to college for the first time.
Absolutely. I'm filled with suggestions and advice. I don't know if any of it's good. Let me start off with an observation. And I think that this actually transcends even if someone's moving into a new school, whether it's high school or middle school, whatever. And that is a recognition that we as human beings, are fragile creatures. And I don't mean that in the political way that some people are using the word fragile these days, but I'm talking about the fact that we are not accustomed to change. And I think that our basic modus operandi, if you will, is, you know, we like things to be the same. So any kind of dramatic change will cause angst and anxiety. And I think so my first observation, which is not a recommendation, is just to acknowledge that reality and to know that you're going to be miserable for a while. And the question is, how shortened of a period can you make that by intentionality? So by your actions and by how you live, can you in fact shorten that requisite painful transition? So just get over it. You're going to be homesick. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be alone. You're going to feel like there's no one on the planet that gets you. All your friends are living on basically somewhere else. And so that's natural. And now the question is, how do you overcome that? And I think acknowledging that is the first step.
Well, that doesn't sound fun at all.
No, but life isn't fun. But it's a great way to prepare for reality, which is we do all have transitions in our lives. And so the more we get comfortable with change, the more we can deal with it in a more agile way.
Well, and it's interesting. I really like that idea of focusing on the fact and just sort of saying out loud, yes, this is happening. And yes, this is difficult, because what's also going on is there's boxes everywhere. There's stuff everywhere. You're packing, you're unpacking, you're trying to figure out where your room is. I mean, there are all these sort of logistical,
your roommate,
physical things
you might have
going
a stranger. Yeah. You might be living with a stranger.
Right, all of a sudden. And just to step back and say, this is new, this is hard, this is difficult, just to acknowledge the reality.
Yeah.
Just seems like a good tool going forward.
Just yesterday, I was meeting with some incoming parents who happened to be on my campus at Southwestern. And I just told them that. And, you know, and I tell the students during orientation that you know, you're going to be miserable. So just get over it. And, you know, I mean, but not to ignore it, but to not let it eclipse a vision of your future, that this is a short-term thing because it's a transition. And then once you make your first friend, and then once you begin to build a little friend network, and once you feel comfortable with the professors or the teachers, all of a sudden you make it home. The moment you're comfortable, the moment it's home, then your emotional and psychological dynamic, I think, completely change. And when people are picking institutions, they're saying, oh, I feel at home here. But that's a projection. You've got to then make it your home. And there are actionable things I think you can do to do that. But you've got to, first of all, acknowledge the reality.
And what are some of those actionable things that you think freshmen or anybody going through a change can do to help bring that about?
Well, and so the first one, of course, is acknowledging that. Mm-hmm. And then the second one is to look beyond that and to realize that you will make new relationships and you will make new friendships. And they might not look the same as your old friends and your old friendships. And so be open to the fact that you might be drawn to someone who you might not have been drawn to, say, in high school if you're going to college. And maybe you've changed a little bit over the summer as well. And to be open to the fact that, you know what, maybe this person who is not like me, for whatever reason, maybe ethnically, maybe socioeconomically, maybe in terms of their gender or their political makeup, maybe that person is a very conservative person and I'm a very liberal person or vice versa, or maybe that person comes from the North and I come from the South, and I would normally not associate with that individual. But for some reason, that human being seems to resonate with me. Don't let the labels prevent you from building a relationship. And, you know, as they always say, opposites attract. So you never know. And so to be open, I think, is the next step, is to be open about everything. Be open about building new friendships and new relationships. Also realize that not everyone you meet has to be your best friend forever. That, in fact, you can have different layers of friendships and relationships. And I mean, certainly I remember, you know, 100 years ago when I was in college, and maybe 50 years ago when you were in college,
Thank you. You'll remember.
Yeah, I'm trying to throw you a bone. the truth is, you know, I had friends that I was so close to that I'm still close to today, you know, a century later. And then there were friends that I, you know, enjoyed, but I'm not that close to today. And I think they're all wonderful and they can all offer support to you and your life, and you can offer them support to them and their lives. And so not everyone has to be your best friend. And I think that the moment you start to open that up and you have this open-minded attitude, including with the faculty and building good relationships there, that's everything. And let me just throw in one extra thing, and I know that you want to jump in here, but academically, since we are an institution of academics, no matter what level, grade level, connecting with your faculty and being as honest and your genuine self with them, the better. So as I was talking to these parents, I was saying, look, you know, if your student is going to be struggling for whatever reason, so maybe the person is not a quantitative person, so not great in math or science, maybe the person, you know, has trouble reading, maybe the person really doesn't like writing, then if you're taking a course where there is a weakness in your own background, don't try to fake it and hide it, but just approach the instructor and introduce yourself and say, you know, hey, I'm Ed Berger and I really struggle with math. And let them know that at the beginning, and then you start to build this relationship, build a sense of trust, and it will only help you. If you try to fake it and say, oh, I can fool it, then you're being someone else, you're pretending, and then the whole experience becomes artificial.
You know, one thing I remember from decades ago when I headed off to college is it took me, you know, I moved in late August, early September. It really took me till January to kind of feel like I was in a groove. Mm-hmm. It took me a while to sort of figure out who my kind of that closest group of friends. I met a lot of people and, you know, they're sort of like concentric circles.
Exactly.
Of friends. And it took me kind of a few months to sort of find that inner group that mm-hmm. I was really going to kind of hang out with.
Right.
And sort of took me a while to figure out what activities I was going to do. And I discovered some classes and in subjects I hadn't studied in high school, but
it
all took some time.
Exactly.
And if someone had said to me, you know, when I was heading out, don't worry, just give it a few months, that would have helped a lot.
Absolutely. And in fact, the truth is, and you're miserable, I think, for the first few weeks. I mean, I if you are not miserable in the first 3 weeks.
Why are you hooked on this miserable thing?
Well, because I think that if we call it out, I mean, you know, I talk about failure all the time, too. I don't think that's a negative. I don't think being miserable is a negative if you know that you're moving through a transitional period and you're going to come out even better.
And we have talked before about, this will seem like an odd connection, but we've talked before about how to know when it's time to transfer to a different school.
Mm-hmm.
And people might want to revisit that episode because that's a different question. But in the moment, you might feel like,
And that's why you have to acknowledge it, because you're like, wow, I'm 2 weeks in and I'm miserable. Well, yeah, join the club.
Right. New home, new place, maybe a new city, all of that.
The other thing that I wanted to pick up on, given what you just shared with all of us, is when you talked about co-curricular activities, like what I'm enjoying, you know, whether it's an athletic team or whether it's going to be a thing, a club or whatever organization, there's a temptation to join everything.
Yes.
And so being mindful of your time and making sure that you do have downtime. If I were king of the world, you want to tell you what I would do to all students at all grade levels, including, you know, college and beyond? I would have a time where it's just a downtime, and it's not like you take a nap, so you can't go on a little mat and go to sleep, but it's almost like mindfulness, I would say, where you're awake, and but you can, you know, you can talk to someone, but you can't be working on stuff and you can't be playing video games, but you just have to kind of let your mind rest a little bit. And you need those times. It does not happen when you sleep. You need to get a lot of sleep, by the way. So please, if you're a student, sleep, not during my class, but, you know, other places. But that's not the same thing as resting your mind. And you need to have time for that. So you can't just do every single activity that you want and have your mind be busy and occupied all the time.
So I am not going to rest my mind right now because we need to do the Puzzler,
nice.
Which is never a time that I rest my mind.
That's like the best segue of our season, of our new season.
It's the first one.
Well, that's why. It's the best. Exactly.
All right. So I am ready.
The
bar was low. And I crossed it with room to spare.
With room to spare. Of course, you always do. Okay. This is a very silly one that I hope that you and our listeners will enjoy. Do you know how to write in Roman numerals the number 9?
I believe I do.
Okay. So let me see you do that. That's correct. So folks, our listeners, she drew the letter I and then followed by an X, which is correct because it's basically 1 less than 10.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So I want you to think about 9 written in Roman numerals,
okay,
which you have in front of you.
Okay.
Now the question is, can you add just one character to that to make it an even number?
Yes, I can. Did I get it?
Let me see. Yes, you did.
Woohoo!
Well, was that too easy? Maybe that was too easy.
No, I don't think so. Because
very
a lot
good.
Of it hinges on Roman numerals. Also,
yes.
I have to say, embarrassingly enough, I have to stop for a second. Is this even or odd? I mean, I had to think through
good.
A couple
okay.
things. Also,
lightning
I will say
speed.
Character is the key word.
Okay. But you got it correct. Congratulations.
I'm very excited.
Everyone else will hear your solution next episode.
In the next episode, yes. So as we come to the end of our episode here, Ed, I do want to check in and see. We've kind of touched on this throughout the episode, but is there a way or something you can say to help people who are going through this change kind of keep realistic expectations? Because I think part of what sort of hovers over any change experience, especially freshman year in college, is this is going to be like the greatest thing ever. And I can't wait. And I'm so excited. And that's not a bad thing.
Right.
But when you get there and everything is not 100% perfect, your room is dark or
right,
whatever,
right,
you don't
right,
like
right.
your roommate.
Sure.
You've talked about sort of naming that it's going to be, you know, can be a difficult transition, but how else can people keep realistic expectations as they head off for this change?
First of all, social media really is a problem in this direction because everyone that you see on social media is happy.
Oh, yeah,
has
they're smiling.
Best room. And look how I decorated this and I did this and here's my best friend forever. You know, it's this artificial world that is a virtual world. And if people see that as reality, then of course you can never live up to that. Now, that being said, the other real problem is family members, parents, because they, you know, will hover over, you know, they're called helicopter parents now, and just be on top of everything. I think that the advice that I would give to the student is to set reasonable expectations, realistic expectations, and to take joy in little things. And this is going to sound really, you know, out there, hippie, but, you know, you walk out onto your campus and just, you know, find the beauty in it. I mean, it might be a beautiful sky. There might be some beautiful trees. I mean, look at the trees. Look at the color of the leaves. Notice all the different colors of green that there are on the different leaves of the tree. I mean, there's so much to appreciate and so much to value and so much to be grateful for. So I would say, you know, being grateful that you're where you are and that you're doing good work, it's easy to dismiss when something goes well, you know, I got an A on a paper. Yeah, but I failed that lab. You know, focusing on the things that went well and thinking, wow, I really did a great job here. What does that mean to me? Just being mindful and taking in little things and even progress. So, wow, you know, I'm actually a little bit less depressed or homesick today than I was yesterday. Wow, that's great. And celebrating that. I think those kind of small celebrations lead to a better mindset.
It seems like it also can be helpful to understand it's not going to be linear. So
correct.
Things may get better, and then you may have a setback, like
absolutely.
Failing a lab. Or,
yep.
But then you might meet a really cool person,
right.
But then you might have a romantic breakup. I mean,
yeah.
it's going to be, you know, one step forward, two steps back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's life. And I think it's important that we understand when you're saying, oh, why do you keep bringing it back to being miserable? I don't think miserable is a bad thing. As long as we see it as a short-term proposition and we intentionally move beyond it, then it becomes a practice of how we live our lives. And the truth is, bad things happen to every one of us. And the question is, how do you move off of that place? And there are practical things that we can do. And once we embrace those practices, we live better lives.
Well, Dr. Ed Berger, thank you for helping us embrace those practices. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staton, KUT News.